Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you and thank you for this day that we can be with your people and be encouraged and built up. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak to each of our hearts today, and Lord, particularly to mine. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit will be here and that we'll be encouraged by your word. We look to you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're gonna talk on only one verse. I know you all say there's no way we all can go with just one verse. I know. It's the one that inspired where I was going, though, but it's Luke 11:46. Jesus replied, "You experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them." I hope this is not going to end up being a woe message, but to me, it's something that so many people have struggled with. I hate to say it, but so many Christians are weary. Since Dean's here, I could have had him, didn't know he's coming, I'd had him sing War Out. But so many of us are wore out. We go through periods of discouragement, and you'll have the bubbly Christians who never seem to have a problem say that you're not supposed to go through those, but we all do. And most of us carry burdens, and too often our interaction with other believers basically add fire to the burden instead of lifting the burdens. And our job as believers really is to lift the burdens of other believers. Not like these Pharisees, as wise people of the law. And literally, I've asked myself, who are the wise teachers of today? And I came up with four different ones that affect us, that a lot of times they add burdens to us. And one is the professional ministers and other church leadership. And you know, most of the time, what they're communicating are good things, but they become burdens if put on the wrong way. But then there's another leader that causes problems, and they're called parents. We have the desires for our kids, and a lot of times, instead of encouraging them, we lay burdens on. You know, I had the privilege of growing up with a father who no matter how good I did, he thought I should do a little bit better. And so it ends up being a burden instead of an encouragement. And the other one is Christian peers. It seems like we can never satisfy the Christian peers. We don't do the right type of schooling for our kids. We don't eat the right kind of food. We don't exercise enough. We have all kinds of things that people encourage us and want us to do. And a lot of times when we're down and discouraged, they come with a glib thing. Well, you really shouldn't be that way if you're a believer. And then I think the teacher that puts the most burden on us is ourselves. We never can live up to our expectations for ourselves. And it puts a real burden on us. You know, we need to say, what is realistic? What does God really want us to do? And part of it is because we're listening to all the other voices instead of just listening to him and what he wants us to do. And but then we turn around and we hurt the teachers. I know more, I should say, discouraged, defeated, full-time Christian workers than I know people in the church that are discouraged and defeated. And it's because we're a very critical bunch, aren't we? Someone that used to go to our church said, I have the gift of being able to speak the truth. Sometimes the truth is a weapon and hurts. And you know, when you talk about also, when you look about the parents, what parent hasn't one time or another had a child say, when they were growing up, say, I hate you. You know, I just spent time with a friend who's been in full-time Christian work for years. He had three lovely children. None of them speak to him. None of them speak to him. Except he has hundreds of sons and daughters that look at him as someone who really helped them grow into Christian life. Who knows? This thing of hurting one another. And, you know, we all supposedly live by grace, but we must remember that the works, performance, expectation syndrome is very alive in our fallen nature. We don't even like what we do sometimes, much less what other people do. We get these expectations and for ourselves and for others, and very often we use them as weapons. And basically all of us have the potential of putting unrealistic burdens on fellow believers and wounding them. And very often it's with the best of motives. It seems like, and the ones that are closest to us are the ones that we seem to hurt the worst. And you can ask Beverly, I have this great gift of saying the wrong thing at the right time. We just, and you know, it's usually with great intentions, but we lay burdens on. You know, and why haven't you finished, quote, quote, whatever it is? And we lay burdens. But we also are in the same position of being a target. We ourselves need to realize there are going to be wounds coming our way. There are going to be people who misunderstand us, believers who misunderstand us, and question what we're doing. And are we trusting God, or do we want the fame of the believers who are around us? Do we really, in other words, are we looking to God, or we look for acceptance, or are we looking to other people? And a lot of those believers that hurt us really may be actually wanting our best. And, you know, not all burdens are evil or bad. Let me, Ephesians 4:29. I promised only one verse, but we're going to go to Ephesians 4:29-30. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Spirit. other words, if we use words that are not right, we're going to actually grieve the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit. And the reason we are, because the Spirit's working on that person. And the Spirit says, quit messing with my job. You know, do not grieve the Spirit. And then it goes on and get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ Jesus forgave you. That's a hard verse to apply. And basically what we've got to do is take every hurt that we've got and anyone that hurt us and lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I give it to you as a sacrifice. I remove my right to be right, my right to be judged correct. Lay my rights before you. Let me lay a couple good burdens on you. Like I say, not all burdens are bad. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But he has called you as holy. Be holy yourselves as he is holy. I don't know about you, but I want to be holy before God. I know that I can only do that through his grace and his intervention in my life. But I want to be pure before God. I want to be someone that he is proud of. In Colossians 1:28-29, Paul says, for this I toil, striving with all of the energy which he mightily inspires within me. And what he's talking about is I teach everyone, I encourage everyone, I try to build everyone up. This is my desire to see other believers grow in their walk with Christ. That's quite a burden, isn't it? But it's an important one. You know, one of the verses of Paul said, I would lose my salvation if every Jew could become a believer. He's so concerned for his people. Are we that concerned for people? Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's a burden. The Lord says we're to encourage one another. I enjoy that burden. I really do. And I enjoy those of you all that encourage me. And sometimes that encouragement comes with a push. We switch back to Luke. It's interesting. He gets specific on what they do not do. And he says, you load burdens on them, but you don't lift your finger to help them. The parallel passage in that is Matthew 23:3-4, where it basically says, you don't even do them yourself. You don't even lift a finger to do them yourself. You put burdens on people that you don't carry, and then you don't help them carry those burdens. Isn't that interesting? He specifically went to two things, and those are the two things I've been meditating about. And the first one, basically, I think what Paul is saying is only proclaim and only lay burdens on people that you yourself carry and are willing to carry. Second Timothy 4:12. Paul, encouraging Timothy, said, let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and purity. Set the believers an example. Let your teaching be what you do, not necessarily what you say. Philippians 4:9, Paul said, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Not just what I say, but what you've actually seen in me. A good control on us is if we don't encourage anyone to do something that we ourselves are not doing ourselves. And I have a friend that's memorized the New Testament. He told me, I never tell anybody what I'm doing. He says, because it's too big of a guilt trip for him. I don't expect them to do that. I'm excited if they memorize one verse. Oh, the last I knew, he was working on Isaiah. I can't go there. But only encourage people to do what you do. He does encourage people to memorize scripture, but he doesn't tell them the burden that the Lord has put on him. And then the next one down there, you haven't lifted a finger to help. If you've given them a burden, walk with them to help them experience God's resources as opposed to relying on their own strength. The only way that we can accomplish anything really is to rely on our resources that the Lord has given us. Romans 9:16, so it depends not upon man's will or exertion, but upon God's mercy. Spent a lot of years in my Christian life, and sometimes I fall back into the same trap of trying to please God in my own strength. Accomplish the things that I know that I'm supposed to be doing. Psalm 127, 1 and 2, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for the Lord gives his beloved sleep. We get anxious and careful. And, you know, that's, I know we've been anxious and careful here because of where our church has gone through. But also we get anxious and careful of what our families are going through and whether we're doing the right things. And the Lord builds a house. But, you know, it's interesting. Most of us have trouble. If someone said, well, you need to memorize scripture, I'd open a scripture and write down a verse and start working on it. It was years as I walked with Christ before I realized that the only way I could memorize scripture was to ask God to enlighten my mind, him meet the needs of my life, sharpen my mind so I could retain it. I didn't have it within me. I could memorize a verse, but I couldn't keep it. But because he sharpened my mind, and for an old farm boy whose English is a second language, it was difficult, even studying, much less reading, particularly in the old King James, which we started with, you know. But God did it. And so are we relying on him? But, you know, we sometimes have to be reminded, and we have, and particularly with younger believers. And something that I've been very bad in doing, but, you know, we encourage people to get into the scriptures and to have devotional lives. What is a devotional life? Sometimes we have to walk someone through that to help them really understand what it means to get into the Word of God. I can still remember the prayer meeting at Virginia Tech. Everybody was sitting around sharing their what they got out of their quiet time. And one of the new guys, this was in a varsity meeting, and one of the new guys showed up and he says, oh, I have my quiet time every morning at 8 o'clock walking across the drill field, listening to the chimes out of the bell tower. And so we had to sit down with him and say, what does it mean to really get into the Word of God and to talk to God, not just listen to chimes on going across the drill field of class. And we assume too much. We need to help people. And 1 Thess 2:7-8, "But I was gentle among you, like a nurse taking care of her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, I was ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also my own self." It's interesting. The navigators have been in the disciple making for years. They finally redefined it. They call it now life on life discipleship, because so many people think that you can do discipleship from here, from a teaching platform, transfer notebooks into people's lives. Paul said, "I give you my entire life. I not only shared my knowledge in the gospel, but I shared my life with you for you to see that this walk with God is real." That's true discipleship. And it's very costly. And what are the resources that God has provided for us, for all of his children? Probably the first and most important one is his spirit. We have the indwelling spirit within us. John 6:63, "It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is no avail. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life." The spirit gives life. I don't know about you, but I've struggled with things like lust. I've struggled with anger. I've struggled with you name it. All these things that we as human beings struggle with. And I finally understood Romans 8:13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." The only way that I've been able to see success in my personal walk with Christ, dealing with everything from anger to fear to lust to covetousness, is to go to his spirit and say, "I've got a problem. I can't do this on my own. You have to do it." And until we have people who are willing to, the way we really help people grow is to get them going to the spirit and saying, "God, I need your help. It's not me. It's us. And I'm willing. I'll be willing. You give the power." The other one is the introduction to the armor in Ephesians. Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Not us, in the power of his might. It's only as we trust in his might. And then the other one that he promised when he stood on the beach before he went up to heaven, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Matthew 28:20. Paul said the same thing in Acts 2:25. "For I saw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved." Do we realize that he is here today? That he is present? Just because you're here, he's here. He promises to be here, even when things get dark. And there are going to be dark times in all of our lives. Even in that, he is here. And then he also promises us peace, but not peace the way the world does. John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Relax. That's the way it's going to be. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You haven't. I've overcome the world. And then he also says that he will meet all of our needs. Matthew 6:25-34 is the whole passage on a sparrow is sold for pence, yet not one falls that the Lord doesn't know that it falls. You know, look at the flowers. You know, even Pharaoh in all his greatest glory can't be as great as they are. God meets our needs. And sometimes I struggle with that this week. His provision that I could be able to share something with you all that made sense. Because so often my brain goes a million different directions. Matthew 9:2. And behold, they brought him a paralytic lying on his bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Kind of fired the Pharisees up when he said that, didn't he? But it says when he said it, when he saw their faith, didn't say when he saw the paralytic's faith. The story of the four men that came and let him down through the roof. This is not exactly the same passage, but I think it's referring to the same story. Often when we're discouraged, carrying a lot of burdens, and the burdens get steep, we have trouble going to the Lord. That's when we need Christian brothers to come along beside and pick up the litter and take us to Jesus. Are we willing to be one of those litter bearers for someone else? That's what it means to lift a finger to help. I don't know whether that was lightning or what it was. Good emphasis. That's good. That was a good closing note, wasn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you're the one who's ministering to people, that you're the one who's meeting our needs. And Lord, help us to focus on your resources and not our own strength. And Lord, turmoil will come, trials will come. But Lord, you promised that you'd be with us and that you literally have overcome the world. And a lot of times, you're not going to free us from it. You said that you'd walk through it with us. And Lord, that's what we cling to. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, give us the heart and the willingness to be able to walk through it with other believers who need us and need, as someone said, need to feel the flesh of God, much less the theory. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll give us, in the midst of our burdens, the ability not to strike back and the ability to be compassionate and gentle and kind to those who carry burdens and point them directly to you. We don't have the solution, but you do. And we thank you that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.